Heavenly Father, may we have ears to hear. May we have eyes to see. May we have hearts to know you as you are revealed through your scriptures. We pray this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So back in November of 2024, St. John's Parish Church sent a mission group down to Lima, Peru to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Anglican Diocese of Peru. Now, the Anglican Church has lived much longer in Peru than 50 years, but the diocese was officially formed in 1974. So a group of us were invited and came to celebrate this glorious time, this nice 50th anniversary. And the first celebration that we attended, the first night that we were there in Lima, was by an invitation from Bishop Jorge and facilitated by both the bishop, some other clergy in the diocese, and a large group of teenagers, a group of the youngest people in the diocese, teenagers from all over Lima, everyone had gathered together in this one place, and they welcomed us. As soon as we pulled up in the van, they welcomed us with singing, with dancing, with celebration, an invitation to have these specialty Peruvian foods and drinks, and a time to share just some fellowship and some testimonies together. It truly was a very, very grand celebration with that invitation for us to come, to eat, to drink, to celebrate with those friends that we have there in Lima. And when we consider the amazing hospitality and welcome that was shown to us by our friends in Peru, we cannot forget that we first, before we arrived, had the invitation to come, the invitation to be there, to be present. We are invited to come to celebrate this great milestone because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we are partnered together in mission and ministry. That lets us know, friends, that this mission and ministry that we share together here on Sunday mornings on John's Island is not limited to this time and place, but it is shared with Christians all over the globe, and particularly with those Christians there in Lima, Peru, that are also worshiping this morning. I do want to say, though, that as glorious and as welcoming and inviting as that invitation truly was, it's nothing compared to the invitation that we see, that we have witnessed, that we have been given in Isaiah 55 that we heard this morning. Now, to understand the fullness of this invitation, we do have to look back a little bit. We have to look back just a bit in the book of Isaiah and see that actually the invitation that we have this morning in Isaiah 55 is a continued invitation. In Isaiah 54, there is an invitation for the barren woman, the one who could not bear children, to come, invited to sing and rejoice despite the painful longing that she had within herself to have children. We see an invitation for lovely hospitality given to her who could not bear the loneliness that she had any longer. And friends, let me just tell you that that barren woman is not an individual person. That barren woman is a representation for and of all of God's children. All of God's children, okay? God's chosen people. The people of Israel at the time of Isaiah's life, and now us, Christian believers in Jesus Christ today, God's chosen people. All too often, so many of us are lonely or sad in isolation, in pain and suffering. But even in those times of darkness, we are called to rejoice. To rejoice because God is in the act always of redeeming. Of redeeming not only us, not only God's chosen people, but the entirety of the lost world. Which then brings us to that great and continued invitation that we have in Isaiah 55 from this morning. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, and eat. All of humanity has been invited to come to the Lord, where we will find not only the necessities of life, the basic things that we need, water and food, but we will find the best of life. Yes, the water and the food, and also the milk and the wine. We need this invitation because of our own prodigality. That is the fact that each one of us continues to go out to waste what God has given. But we're always welcomed back. We need this invitation because of our own prodigality. We continue then to look forward at the rest of Isaiah after we receive that great invitation. Look at the rest of Isaiah 55 by going back again. Again, looking at the fuller context, right? We go back to look at the source of this invitation. What is the source? Who is the source of this invitation, of this welcome, of this grand hospitality, and of this awesome forgiveness? Let's go back a couple of more chapters. Isaiah 52 and 53. The suffering servant passages in Isaiah 52 and 53. The suffering servant is the one who extends this invitation for us. Because the suffering servant is the one who has already been through everything that we could possibly go through in our own pain, in our own suffering, in our own isolation and loneliness and want and need. The suffering servant has already been through all of this. This is the one who invites us to come, to participate, and to partake without payment. This grand celebration and feast. So we listen. We have ears to hear, as Jesus himself said in the parable of the sower. We have ears to hear, to receive our own salvation from the suffering servant through the lineage of the King David, by the true King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords, by the suffering servant Jesus of Nazareth. So then from Isaiah 52 all the way through Isaiah 55, we have perhaps the clearest, most faithful, most grand, and humblest prophecy of Jesus Christ in the entirety of the Old Testament. And it is this Savior. It is this suffering servant. It is this Jesus is the one who extends the invitation to us all, who welcomes us all, who forgives all who repent, and transforms all into his perfect image. He is the only one who could possibly offer to pay for all of that rich food and drink that we have been invited to. He's the only one who could pay for such great things. we have no money to buy our own forgiveness. We have no money to pay admission for acceptance in our pain and suffering, in our misery, in our wasteful lives. We cannot pay for such. But that has already been paid by the goodness of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we then have the ability to recognize our prodigality, to return to Him as the source of all goodness and mercy. Continuing in Isaiah 55, we see verse 6 tells us to seek the Lord, to go after the Lord. We seek Him, all need to seek Him, because in times of good and in times of trouble, we need Him. So we call upon Him. He is always close by, as His word says. He is always close by. When we feel isolated from God, or when we feel far away from God, it's not God who has left us, it is we who have left God. He is always there, ready for us to turn back around to Him again in our own prodigality. And when we return, He has compassion. He pardons. He forgives. He gives us grace from the things that we have done and from the things that we have left undone. And friends, I'm reminded of the blessing that we share at the end of every Sunday morning service that comes directly from Scripture, from Paul's letter to the Philippians. When Paul says, "May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may the peace of God, may the presence of God, which is beyond anything that we can actually comprehend or accept, it goes beyond anything to bring us closer to Him, so that we know that He has not gone far away. It is us who go far away." We recognize this to receive the blessing, and then for us to live our own lives welcomed and thus transformed by Him into the Christians that He wants us to be. And He gives us that great assurance and hope that His word will never go out empty. It always has substance and sustenance. His word, God's word, is greater than anything that we know. God's word is His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this, then, is the definition of, the explanation of, the great benefit that we have in the invitation. That when we are made new, when we continually grow, we remember that this time of ordinary time in the church where all the green is out, that it is not ordinary because it's dull or boring, it is ordinary because we are to order our lives around growth in Christ. The great benefit is that we continually grow and we acknowledge His work and the forgiveness that comes from Him, so that we can go out and do the same. His word never goes out empty or void, does it? It always goes out with a purpose. And God's word brings comfort, doesn't it? God's word brings comfort. It brings comfort to all those who mourn, and it brings comfort to all those who sin. Not only comfort to those who sin, but it brings those who sin to their knees. So for all of us who mourn, for all of us who are overburdened by the world, by our own flesh, by the temptations of the devil. When we receive the harshness from the world all around us in the news, or from a recent diagnosis, or from the death of a loved one, we mourn. We mourn the things that are taking place all around us. But we're comforted from God's word. For all of us who are sinners, that is to say, all of us, we are comforted. We are comforted that knowing, even though we are sinners from inside of our mother's womb until the day that we meet our Lord Jesus face to face in paradise, we're comforted because of the need of coming to this banquet feast that we have been invited to is such a great and absolute need for us. We need this. We need this comfort. We need this peace. We need this hope. And then there's the words that we remember each and every Sunday morning, right before we receive communion. The words that we call the comfortable words. The words that build upon one another. The words that, along with the great invitation that we have to come, are welcoming for us with warmth, with forgiveness, and with the mercy of Jesus. Those great comfortable words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If anyone sins, and everyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, beloved, faithful believers, friends in Christ, for those of you who are suffering, for those of you who are mourning, for those who are stuck in cycles of sin, we are never alone. We are never alone. We have been invited. Not only have we been invited, but Jesus has already paid our way, and that he is present with us in the worst of our pain and suffering. He is alongside of us. And in the depths of our sin, he is waiting to redeem that prodigality. So whatever it is, whatever it is at all, anything at all that is occupying your heart, your mind, your life, Jesus has invited you to take it from you. He will take it, and then he will take you, sanctify you through that invitation to come. In the darkest of night, in the joy, in the pain and suffering, in the triumph, in the sin, and in the resurrection of all things made new, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Because, brothers and sisters, we always and only have Jesus. We always and only have Jesus. So come. Come, all who recognize the need. Come, all who are unable to buy and pay. Come, all who are thirsty and hungry. Come, all who are in pain. Come, all who wish to celebrate the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
once was lost in darkest night. You thought I knew the way, the sin that promised joy and life, and led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Alone and live so it see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be. Jesus is my life. Jesus is.